Buffalo News Ice Time podcast is brought to you by Express Windows. Windows starting at $389 installed. Visit expresswindowsinc.com.
The Stanley Cup has been awarded, but that doesn't mean by any stretch of the imagination the hockey season is over. This is news sports columnist Mike Harrington with another shift of the Ice Time podcast here at buffalonews.com. Joined as always by Sabres beat reporter Rachel Lindsay, who is about to get very busy, it would seem, again, with the NHL draft coming up and free agency coming up and trade season coming up. And trade season, in fact, already started right after the Stanley Cup final ended. Toronto Maple Leafs and Philadelphia Flyers made a big swap, which included goalie Joseph Woll going to Philly. That surprised me. And Rachel, the Sabres got into it on Wednesday, trading Michael Kesselring to the San Jose Sharks. It also involved a flip of number one picks, leaving the Sabres at number 20 and the Sharks at number 27. What was your initial reaction, both to Kesselring's demise after 1 year here and the significance of what this might mean?
Wow, this is a multi-answer question, because let me pose this to you. I mean, almost a year ago, when Michael Kesselring was traded to the Buffalo Sabres with Josh Doan for J.J. Paterka, there was so much excitement around Michael Kesselring. You had this big, tall, rangy guy who said, I want to be physical. I'm going to be ready for a Lindy Ruff camp. But he thought Michael Kesselring is going to be kind of a vital piece to what the Sabres defense is going to be in 2025, 26. You know, I hate to say this, but Josh Doan was a little bit of an afterthought because he hadn't really proven himself to that point. But instead, we go to almost a year after that trade, and Michael Kesselring's already on his way out, and Josh Doan has become really one of the vital pieces of the Sabres. But back to Michael Kesselring, injury-plagued season. He had a high ankle sprain, left leg, that he never really got over. I remember in Dallas toward the end of the game on New Year's Eve, he had gotten hurt, re-aggravated the injuries. He never really was able to fully recover. And he acknowledged as much during the course of the season that, you know, it's been a struggle for him to do that. And he was limited to, what, less than 40 games, had 2 points on the entirety. He could never really contribute. I don't know if he was necessarily in Lindy's doghouse, but just because he was so hampered by all of those injuries, he never really got a chance to prove what or who he was in the Sabres defense. And a little bit of inside baseball here. I remember walking into the Sabres locker room at some point in the second half of the season, and Michael Kesselring's playing time, it had diminished to that point. And players usually have stalls in an NHL locker room. And Michael Kesselring was sitting on a chair in the middle of the locker room near the logo.
Yes,
and I said, you know, when you're moved from your stall to the chair, that ain't a good sign. So the writing was a little bit on the wall. And he had even said, you know, I don't feel like it's fair that my playing time is diminishing. You know, coming back, I'm being healthy. And that is his opinion. I don't know of an NHL player who would say, yeah, I understand why they're not playing me at all, even though I just came back from this injury and I'm trying to get my groove. But I understood. But he also understood, you know, this was Lindy Ruff's decision. He had found a top four rotation that in the defense that was really clicking. You know, the Matias Samuelsson, Rasmus Dahlin, Owen Power, Bowen Byram, those two pairings as well. Zach Metsä was really coming along in his rookie season, really becoming a contributor. Connor Timmins had come back from the broken leg that he sustained in December, was really proving himself all over again as a solid shot blocker and a penalty killer. There really was no more room for Michael Kesselring at this point. The writing was on the wall by a certain point of the season. And then after the trade happened, it spun me off to two other tangents. First off, we saw the Sabres move up in the draft. They were originally going to draft at number 27, a byproduct of winning and having success in the playoffs. I mean, I can't remember the last time the Sabres drafted that low. It was, what, maybe 2010 with Mark, I'm going to butcher his name, Pisick, right? Is that how you say his name?
Mark Pisick was taken at number 23. So, yeah, I'd have to even look it up further when it would be 27, 28. I mean, because they traded the first-round pick after the President's Trophy season, so they didn't have a first-round pick that year. But you're right. I mean, this is completely foreign to me, having covered the last 16 drafts, having a first-round pick even at number 20, let alone number 27.
So we got to wait till late to Friday night next week to find out who the Sabres are going to pick, if they pick it. I also thought trading up to number 20 would probably make better trade bait if Jarmo Kekalainen, who's entering his first NHL draft as Sabres GM, he's had quite a few of these as Columbus's GM, it might become better trade bait. My other thought here as well was, Michael Kesselring, I forgot, more than $1 million on the books per season. I thought maybe they're clearing some cap space to either A, renegotiate Zach Benson's contract, B, renegotiate Bowen Byron's deal, or C, sweeten the pot for Alex Tuch. So there were multiple thoughts that I had regarding Michael Kesselring's trade. I will say personally, I always enjoyed working with Michael Kesselring. He told me some great stories about the first time he made the NHL, how it was part of a trade when he was with Edmonton's organization. I always found him very personable. He was one of those players I wanted to see him do well because he had so many high expectations coming to Buffalo, coming to the Sabres and joining a part of it. But I also think he's going to have a really fresh start in San Jose, and it's going to kind of help, clear his head and help him refocus a little bit. So best of luck to Michael Kesselring, and we'll see what the Sabres do with this little bit of extra money and this higher draft pick. Mike, what did you think of the trade?
It's disappointing to me the way it worked out. Injuries happen. Mm-hmm. He just didn't have a great year. He got in Lindy's doghouse. I'm sure there were some behind-the-scenes conversations that didn't go very well or probably a little contentious. I would have loved to have seen Kesselring stick it out, try to come back, be a third pair guy and really produce. He thought he was a top four guy. That's what he thought he was coming here for, to pair with Owen Power. It didn't work out that way. The biggest takeaway I have is the Sabres are not picking in the first round, is my feeling. My feeling is they have something else in the hopper. And with whoever they have it in the hopper with, that team said, we cannot do your deal with the number 27 pick. You've got to get us a higher pick in round one. So I think Jarmo Kekalainen may have gone out to get a higher pick in round one to foster another trade with somebody. I do not think it's very likely they pick at number 20. I don't think it's very likely they pick in the first round at all. I don't think they're looking to move up again. I think they're looking to deal. Somebody else is looking to deal with them, and I don't see it happening. But, the Kesselring situation would have been very disappointing had Josh Stone not been part of the trade, and they got Josh Stone signed long-term. And let's not forget, who made this trade? Props to Kevin Adams for making the trade and acquiring Josh Stone, but Jarmo Kekalainen didn't make the trade. He doesn't have any loyalty to Michael Kesselring. If he doesn't feel Michael Kesselring's a guy with a future here, of course he's looking to get rid of him, because the other point you made that's correct is he's $1.5 million on the cap as a pending RFA. They're going to have to either qualify him, start his arbitration clock. They don't want to get involved with that sort of stuff with Michael Kesselring. So that was another reason. Let's excise this guy now. Try to help our trade bait with draft picks. People are, the reaction on social media from people outside of Buffalo, oh my God, tell me you didn't watch the Buffalo Sabres this year with telling me you didn't watch the Buffalo Sabres by going on and on and on about what a great trade this is. San Jose stole a great NHL defenseman. Good Lord. Did you people not watch the Sabres this year? When Michael Kesselring played, and I know he wasn't healthy, he wasn't very good. The Sabres have four quality defensemen. Where is he going to play? They had to make a move here.
It was a numbers game with Kesselring. Absolutely. By probably about March with him. Again, and you bring up the card, did you watch Michael Kesselring play? I wanted to say, no, you probably didn't, because he was hurt for X number of games as well, too. So right. He wasn't playing as well, too. And, I think the Sharks are going to get a defenseman with a lot of potential, a lot of unproven potential as well. And this might be a better opportunity for him to really showcase what he can do, be that physical defenseman, that guy who likes to mix it up with players, who's not afraid to fight to defend his team. He can do that with San Jose on a team with Macklin Celebrini, right?
And the other thing is, we knew at the start of the offseason probably that there was a good chance Kesselring was going. There's a good chance Devin Levi's going. Let's just take care of some of those minor tasks, essentially, because they've got much bigger fish to fry here. I mean, let's be honest here.
Upgrade your home with Express Windows, your one-stop shop for windows, siding, and doors. It's fast, easy, and affordable, backed by the strongest lifetime warranty in the business. See why homeowners love us. Visit ExpressWindowsInc.com today.
The Alex Tuch situation, as we look at a couple other points here, the Alex Tuch situation is at a complete stalemate. He's not going anywhere off his offer, off his mind. The Sabres aren't going anywhere off theirs. Now, anything can change. The Michael Kesselring trade could change Alex Tuch. That could be money. They could call Alex Tuch back. Hey, we got more money now. Because we know, and it's this is not hidden information. This is well established out there that Alex Tuch wants Adrian Kempe's money. Signed with the Los Angeles Kings at $10.625 million cap hit. He wants that money, and the Buffalo Sabres are probably in the $8.5 to $9 million range, which is going to be too low for Alex Tuch. He's the top free agent on the market. I don't care that
he's 30. In a meager market this season.
In a meager market. Thank you. And now, as Alex Tuch made the point at Locker Cleanout Day, how older players in this league, through sports science, are doing very well extending the longevity of their careers, and he mentioned Gabriel Landeskog. What did we just see happen in the Stanley Cup final? A 37-year-old, Jordan Staal of the Carolina Hurricanes, wins the Conn Smythe Trophy. Score another one for Alex Tuch's theory of late 30s hockey players, and the Carolina Hurricanes were full of 30-somethings. So, to me, the Sabres aren't sunk yet on Alex Tuch.
No.
I think the vast majority of the odds would say he's going to free agency. What's the old adage? All it takes is a phone call or text message. And, you know, when I was talking the other day, he said it on the radio, and I've talked to him too. Paul Hamilton made the point, which I forgot. Brock Besser of the Vancouver Canucks was very similar to Alex Tuch last year. Team and player were stalemated. There wasn't a deal to be made. He's going to free agency. He's going to market. And Brock Besser went to market on July 1st, and a couple hours into July 1st, lo and behold, Brock Besser signs with the Vancouver Canucks. So, you know, at this point, anything can happen in these situations. You know, the Tuch could come down, the Sabres could come up. Tuch did not like the offers he gets. I think he's going to get a couple big offers, but realistically, does Alex Tuch want to play for... Maybe he does. Does he want to play for $11 million a year, just to throw a number out, with the Seattle Kraken? Just when the Buffalo Sabres have opened their Stanley Cup window, you're going to go sign with the Seattle Kraken? Really? I just don't see this. So I think there's a lot left to be said on the Alex Tuch situation. It's a stalemate right now, and it might be a stalemate to the final couple days before July 1st and into July 1st, but I do think the most likely scenario is he goes to free agency and leaves. But it's certainly, the door is not closed. The Buffalo Sabres certainly haven't closed the door at all on Alex Tuch. I think, like you said, part of the Michael Kesselring trade, they need some extra money here between Benson, who now needs to get paid, between whatever happens with Byram and whatever happens with Alex Tuch. And to me, it's not over yet.
That's another guy, you know. You don't want to part with that.
So
Peyton Krebs.
Easy. It's so easy to forget about Beck Malenstein, and shame on me. Because, first of all, Stanley Cup teams, and we've seen it in the last 10, 15 years, they all have really good fourth lines. They have fourth liners who can play, who can score goals, who can kill penalties. Beck Malenstein's one of the fastest skaters on the team. He's had more speed bursts than a lot of big name offensive guys in this league, if you look
and
at NHL.
And one of the biggest hitters in the league. What,
absolutely.
Finished fifth in the NHL with 282 hits this season. That's no small task. I mean, I definitely think Alex Tuch needs to bet on himself and go for free agency, see what's out there. You know, Beck Malenstein, that's going to be the X factor as far as free agency goes. And I want to see if the Sabres are going to take their best shot. Beck Malenstein's also a great locker room guy as well, too. I've said this before. He is a hockey nerd. I walk in and he's talking in the locker room. He's talking about different sticks that he uses, different equipment, and you should try this. He's giving pointers to the young guy. He's a great glue guy in the locker room.
And
as well.
Why
so that,
did the
that,
Sabres,
that is priceless in some ways.
Why did the Sabres trade for Beck Malenstein in the first place? And people are all up in arms. Oh, you traded a second round pick for him, which you don't hear anybody complaining about that now. They traded for Beck Malenstein because he played for the Hershey Bears in the Eastern Conference Final against the Rochester Amherst. So the Sabres got a face full of Beck Malenstein for six games in that Eastern Conference Final in the AHL a couple years back. And they saw what he can do in playoff competition in the AHL. we saw what he was capable of in the playoffs in the NHL. He's that grinding, hard-nosed forward who can do a lot of things. So that's another guy in free agency. You know, they're working on the situations with Krebs, with Benson. They're RFAs. You know, mm-hmm. Beck Malenstein's a UFA like Tuck right now. You know, Bowen Byram is going to be a UFA in a year. So they have those situations to deal with, too. And I think people wonder about the cap, and they do need to create some room here and not waste it on guys like Kesslering at this point. But the Malenstein thing is a great point, because that's a guy that's not going to be very simple to replace if he walks. You know, you're going to have to restructure your fourth line, and they're going to have to play a little differently. And I would think you're probably at some point here going to ship out Jordan Greenway as well. So that's another, you know, I know he's not a big favorite among fans, partly because he just hasn't been able to stay healthy. But we saw in the playoffs, Jordan Greenway can be pretty darn effective. And that's going to be another loss. And people should also not disregard the loss of Jordan Greenway and, like you said, Beck Malenstein in the locker room. It's a significant one if both of those players leave. So they do have to do some restructuring at that level. But it all comes back to the first thing they have to figure out is Alex Tuck staying or going.
Yeah. He is the vital piece of what the Sabres are going to do as far as their free agency plans, their re-signing plans, reorganizing. I don't know if reorganize is the right word, but reorganize their roster. And it's interesting, you know, we go back to, as I said before, this is a very meager free agent class. I mean, Alex Tuck is clearly the number one out there. And there are a few other guys. I mean, I'm sure the Sabres are preparing for life after Alex Tuck or a future with Alex Tuck, you know, and I just kind of looked at some of who's out there who could kind of fit the bill if Alex Tuck walks, you know. And you and I talked about this. We said Anders Lee, he's a little too old, a little too pricey, but, you know, another great locker room guy. You know, the other guy that I looked at, if the Sabres do want to make a free agent pitch, Anthony Mantha from Pittsburgh. I mean, who 1-year contract, he wants a long-term deal. He was the Penguins' leading goal scorer this season, more than Sidney Crosby, more than Evgeny Malkin. So, you know, I just kind of throwing these names out there like, hey, you know, if we have to prepare for life after Alex Tuck, there are some guys that are out there that could be pursued, or this conversation could be moot in about, 2 weeks. And
right.
Who knows what's going to happen.
Don't know.
But I am fully preparing for Alex Tuck to test free agency and possibly walk.
I call it stupid season for a reason. And I think you learned a little last year, and we're going to see it again this year. July 1st.
Oh, we saw it this morning, actually.
Yeah,
so
July 1st is really stupid season, and we're going to see it. No offense to Alex Tuck.
No.
Has done a great job putting himself in this position and got lucky. Why mm-hmm. is Alex Tuck the best free agent on the market? Because so many other teams were able to sign their guys. And the Sabres were not able to get a deal done with Alex Tuck here. And here we are in June about a situation that we were talking to Alex Tuck about in September, and nothing got done. So the hockey world is obviously looking at trades, looking at free agency. But let's look back for a second to a few days ago here. The season actually ended. Holy cow. Carolina Hurricanes win the Stanley Cup, beating the Vegas Golden Knights, and they were full marks for that series, winning in 6 games. They were better most of the time. They won the last 3 games. So much to unpack here. The Sabres didn't get their chance at Carolina, not beating Montreal in Game 7. I'm looking at my list here. The Vegas Golden Knights have the lead, don't get a goal from Jack Eichel in the series. John Tortorella isn't coming back as the coach. There's a lot to unpack here. A 37-year-old wins the Conn Smythe. When you watch some of this Stanley Cup final, I mean, what were some of your thoughts watching some of these games and ultimately with Carolina winning?
My first thought, let me take the victory lap here. Way back when, in our season preview in October, I picked the Hurricanes to win the Stanley Cup. You picked the Vegas to get to the Stanley Cup and win it, to face Carolina. So we were on the ball there.
I was going to say, how about that, though? How about your first year out of the block, you picked the Stanley Cup champion, and I picked the Stanley Cup final. I just got the winner wrong. But who would have ever really thought Carolina-Vegas final? So I'm pretty good with that, and you got to be pretty good with picking
the
Carolina
Hurricanes.
I'm the
good luck charm this year. I got the Sabres into the playoffs my first year covering them, and hell, you know, pick the Carolina Hurricanes to win the Stanley Cup as well, too. Although if you look at my picks.
Don't make me go over some of the other picks, though, right?
I was going to say, although if someone's smart and looks at my picks, I put them up on Instagram, looks at our picks, they're going to look at mine and be like, Jacob Slavin for Norris, what were you drinking at that point? Or what was the other one? Oh, you had John Cooper for coach of the year. Oh.
Well, you know what? I also had the Tampa Bay Lightning winning the Atlantic Division, which is why I had John Cooper as the coach of the year. So I can plead it. I can plead a little innocence in that one.
I had Mike Sullivan as coach of the year. I was like, oh, unless they have like a green jacket for coach of the year.
That turned out to be egregious. Yeah.
But that's the fun of those preseason picks is, you know, I always say I'm going to make the pick and chances are I'm going to be wrong, but I was not wrong on the Stanley Cup. So congratulations to Carolina.
You picked it in October. They had 113 points. They won the Eastern Conference. They go all the way through and no offense to people in Carolina, but holy cow, that is about the easiest road I've ever heard of. Think about this. They sweep the Ottawa Senators in round one, and that's their reward for finishing first in the East. But then the Pittsburgh Penguins get upset. So they don't play Pittsburgh in the second round. They play Philadelphia. They sweep them. Then the Buffalo Sabres, who would have been a pretty formidable opponent, can't beat the Montreal Canadiens. So they play the Habs in the Eastern Conference Final. They blow through them in five games, have 11 days off, can't play in game one, sweep them four straight. So now they're in the Stanley Cup Final. Well, here we go. They're going to pay the piper against the Colorado Avalanche in the East-West Battle of Giants. And what happens? The Avalanche gets swept by Vegas.
They got broken mentally and physically and psychologically by Vegas.
So Carolina had one of the most fortuitous roads to win a Stanley Cup that I've ever seen. And the good folks of Raleigh will not like me saying that, but it's just the fact. And I do not apologize for it. Having said that, the Hurricanes blitzed everybody they played until the final, got down 2-1, and Rod Brind'Amour makes the switch in goal. Maybe Freddie Anderson's knee wasn't going to allow him to keep going. Certainly the Claude Lemieux situation didn't help. Gets three great games out of Brandon Bussey, and they win a Stanley Cup. And when it was 2-2, where did you think this series was going?
I thought it was going to go 7 at that point. I really thought it was. But then I saw Brandon Bussey come in. I thought that was just a masterful move by Rod Brind'Amour. People just forget that Brandon Bussey won 31 games.
31 games.
Remember, you saw him stymie the Sabres back in January.
Here's the glove that Tage Thompson is still seeing in his sleep when Brandon Bussey robbed him in a 2-1 game on Martin Luther King Day.
And the thing about the Carolina Hurricanes, and I was listening to another podcast where they talked about this, the Carolina Hurricanes personify Rod Brind'Amour. Like, if you want to see an identity of a team that's an identity of their coach, it is Rod Brind'Amour's Carolina Hurricanes. They are tough. They're not going to back down. They're defensively strong. They will put up a fight on every level of the game. I mean, what's the story about Rod Brind'Amour? He will never, ever settle for good enough. I can't remember if you and I talked about this story or the other one when he was at Michigan State. Yes, Rod Brind'Amour went to Michigan State. And the coach at Michigan State, I believe, was it Ron Mason? I think it was.
He was coach at Michigan State,
who said, I had to lock the weight room in Michigan State because Rod Brind'Amour would sneak in at night to work out. I mean, you saw the pictures of him ripping off a shirt and lifting the Stanley Cup. The guy's a 55-year-old specimen. I hope I'm in that good of shape or half that shape when I'm 55 years old. But the Carolina Hurricanes personify Rod Brind'Amour, even though the Carolina Hurricanes will always be the Hartford Whalers. But that's my opinion.
Now,
at
this point, too, up here with Rod Brind'Amour.
He's got such mental fortuity. Is that a word?
What did he do during the season? He
had the 35-pound brick.
He had the Carolina Hurricanes lifting 35-pound cement bricks, and no one figured it out till after the season was over. The Stanley Cup weighs 35 pounds.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
I'm not going to lie. I've gone to the gym, and I've picked up the 35-pound weight because I want to see what it's like to lift the Stanley Cup. I will never have that opportunity, but I was like, oh. You know, and it's nicely distributed, and guys, but they just didn't figure it out. It was a nice subliminal ploy by Rod Brind'Amour to get that team into that championship mindset without them ever having a clue. And I can see how you don't have a clue because you're so locked in during the season. You live in a bubble. I don't know how many times I've talked to the hockey players. Yep. I'll say something to them about, oh, this happened. Oh, did it? I didn't know that. I get it. It's cool, you know. But I loved how strategic and how tactician like Rod Brind'Amour was, especially with how close that team has gotten in the last few years, but have fallen short of the Stanley Cup.
All right, so I'm not going to waste any time here about Vegas. I'm sick of them. I'm sick of the way they act. They throw Tortorella to the curb and put the AHL coach in. Let's move on to the last topic and leave Vegas out of it. Because we do have to talk about the Toronto Maple Leafs. The draft is coming in Buffalo next Friday night. Ostensibly, Penn State's Gavin McKenna will be the number one pick of the Toronto Maple Leafs, who traded Joseph Woll to Philadelphia. Okay, they're probably going to have their AHL goalies be competitive for the NHL spots next year. The Marlies are about to win the Calder Cup. I get it. But they go and hire Jim Hiller as their coach. So
remember when it was Joe Pavelski was a possibility as the coach?
Yeah, and they were just talking last week about Laviolette, who ended up in LA. They were talking about Patrick Waugh, and you settle on Hiller. Now, Hiller
also the Western Michigan coach was also
the Western Michigan coach was interviewed. David Carl of Denver was in the conversation. You end up with Hiller, who gets fired from LA, who's a heavily defensive coach. Now, some people say that was because of who he had with the Kings. We'll see. Hiller was an assistant with the Leafs under Mike Babcock, so there was certainly a relationship there with Austin Matthews and with Willie Nylander, among others. If I had told you, let's see, this is June. If I had told you in March, the GM of the Leafs is going to be John Chyka, and the coach of the Leafs is going to be Jim Hiller, what in the world would you have said to me in March if I had said, this is what's going to happen in June?
You know what I would have said? I said, wasn't John Chyka suspended by the NHL for just, you know, for what, for misconduct? It was tampering, I think it was, and breaking COVID protocols when he was in Arizona.
It was illegal combine.
That's what it was. And yeah. I'm just like, who wants to hire a dude who's got a rap sheet, essentially? That's how I thought. And one of the things I've found in John Chayka's short tenure so far, and I'm saying this very nicely, a lot of unorthodox moves. You know, unorthodox is me a polite way, but it's a diplomatic way of me, you know, saying this is his tenure so far. And again, there are questions surrounding his hire, questions of how and why. I mean, then seeing the hire of Jim Hiller, I got the question of how and why. I got a question, you know, I got a text from another NHL writer yesterday. I mean, let me see if I could find it, but I keep going back to how and why. How and why? And that's the question that I'm always going to have with Jim Hiller. And this is the text I got from another former NHL writer. The Leafs hiring Jim Hiller is about as inspired that any time Peter Laviolette gets a new job. And I know where the NHL is in the business of recycling coaches. Right. I get it. You know, you want experience, but I said, like, Jim Hiller. I mean, it wasn't a great ending for him in Los Angeles. It was an unceremonious ending for him.
Well, here's what I think about it.
He doesn't move the needle.
He doesn't move the needle, and why? You asked why. I think I know why.
Why?
What did Keith Pelley say, the MLSE domo honcho, at his press conference? He wants data-driven people in this organization.
And okay. The Chaykas are data-driven people.
John Chyka is massively data-driven. Jim Hiller is a big analytics hound. What did Jim Hiller do in his pre-assistant coach days? He founded an analytics company. So I think this is all a response to what Keith Pelley said at his press conference, and maybe it'll work. Who knows? And maybe the Leafs will just flame out tremendously and stink for about the next 5 to 7 years.
Because what are they trying to do?
I don't know where they're going right now.
Yeah, you know, what I want to try to do, you know, recreate the MIT Sloan Conference, you know, up in Toronto. I don't know. I am just going to let the Maple Leafs put the recipe together, simmer, do their thing, and see what happens. We're either going to be saying in a couple of years, told you so, or wow, Maple Leafs figuring it out. So I don't know. You have to kind of live in the moment with what the Maple Leafs are doing right now. I don't know. How and why? Those are my two questions.
It's not good that next week in Buffalo, they're going to be making the number one pick and Gavin McKenna is going to be walking across the stage. But you do have to live in the moment to continue to just let the Leafs stink. It was glorious that the Leafs stunk this year. Let's continue to let him stink for another couple of years. Now, that'll get him more high picks. But you know what? At this point, they've been such a thorn in everybody's side. So much for the talking point in the league. Only getting past the first round, what, once in the Matthews era, mm-hmm. twice? Whatever it was. Forget about the Leafs. You know what? Good for them. They hired a crazy hire for a coach, a crazy hire as a GM, and it's going to be one of the big stories in the league and the Atlantic Division all next season, and it's really going to start here in Buffalo next week. So we're going to end up obviously doing a lot of draft talk next week, probably on this very channel, let alone in the paper and in BuffaloNews.com. Just a reminder, Friday the 26th, the first round of the draft, 7 p.m. in KeyBank Center. Rounds 2 through 7 starting Saturday 27th at 11 a.m. Not a draft where all the teams are sitting on the floor
no.
like they used to, the way it should be done. But let's not get into that whole thing. Everybody will be in their home bases. The Sabres will even be in Orchard Park and not in KeyBank Center, using the Bills facility for the draft again. But we're going to get into that next week. Rachel, that was a pretty wild season. It comes to an end, but don't think your season is over or anything close to it here in the next 3 weeks.
Oh, no. No, we're now at a busy season as well. I've already started all of my draft work. I mean, I had all my number 27s written out, and then the Sabres go and trade Michael Kessering at number 27. So I'll be working on number 20s this week as well, too. So, yeah, it's going to be a fun draft. You know, can I preview one of my stories for the weekend as well?
Give it a commercial.
All right. So Sunday story, it's Father's Day. We're going to look at some of the NHL dads who have kids that are going to be drafted this season, including Victor Plant, the son of former Sabre center Derek.
There you go. She's Rachel Lindsay, Sabres beat reporter. I'm Mike Harrington, Sabres columnist. Be sure to follow all the coverage online at BuffaloNews.com and in the Buffalo News print editions. The draft is coming, and it's going to be in Buffalo. Thanks for watching and listening.
Express Windows is a best of 716 favorite for window and door installation. They also offer discounts for military personnel and seniors. Learn more at ExpressWindowsInc.com. Express Windows. Fast, easy, affordable.